had a report that a number of states got shipments from the federal government of remdesivir, but that some of it may have gone to the wrong places. But that Rhode Island was among the states that got some of the drugs. Do you know anything about that, or is it being used in Rhode Island yet?
Yes, remdesivir has been used, and we had a conversation a day or two ago with the feds about it arriving, and it has been sent to the hospital that they calculated to have the most cases, and we will be engaging with the hospitals so that as it's needed for additional patients in other hospitals, we'll have the opportunity to have the other hospitals receive it as well. So once it's in the state, we'll be able to redistribute it if it's needed in other facilities.
Thanks.
Governor, this is Kim Kalunian. I know you spoke about fines for businesses, but can individuals be fined for not wearing a mask in a public place other than a business? You know, if they're out somewhere, how does that work for individuals?
Yes, it is possible. We do want to, as the governor mentioned, really encourage wearing, and from my standpoint, make sure that folks know why, because it does make a difference. So the science has changed as we've evolved through this, and masks are a necessary part to reopening. But we do reserve fining as an approach as we need, if we need to, for enforcement implementation.
She says, Governor, it's Kathy Gregg. On April 10th, you signed an executive order providing immunity to hospitals and nursing homes that expires today. Is it your intent to renew it? And if not, why not?
Excellent question, Kathy. The answer is yes, but. And but is we're still working really hard. I am going to renew it, but it's going to be much narrower. And we're still, as we speak, finalizing exactly the limits of it. So, you know, tomorrow or late tonight, I'll sign another one. We feel that it makes sense to provide some immunity, but now that hospitals are going to be going back online on Monday, we do not, you know, with their normal operation, I don't think it makes sense for there to be the broad immunity that we provided for the past month.
Are you narrowing it for nursing homes as well?
No. Hospitals. We're working hard to figure out the hospitals.
Thank you.
Governor, the revenue conference is happening as we speak, obviously, and we'll have those estimates tonight. What is next steps for your administration on the budget next week, now that the revenue stuff will be in?
Yeah, I expect it to be quite grim. I don't know how bad exactly, but it's going to be very bad. I don't know, Ted. I need to sit down with the legislators and make a plan. Here's the problem. We're not going to have any clarity until probably Memorial Day or the first week of June from the federal government on what the next stimulus is going to look like. And I talked yesterday to Senator Reid. I talked last night to Congressman Cicilline. We're in very close contact with Mnuchin. I think there will be another stimulus, which includes state aid, which will allow us to make up for lost revenue. Some people say, you know, that that's going to be a $500 billion package. Some people say it'll be a $100 billion package. We keep hearing about more money for hospitals, more money for nursing homes, more money for testing. So we need to figure it out is the short version, but I'm not inclined to do much of anything for the next month, or at least not month, maybe 3 weeks. Because there's so much unknown from the federal government.
Governor, have you had any conversations with Speaker Mattiello in recent times about the budget? Any even off record?
Yeah,
conversations?
We talk once or twice a week, and we talk about what I just said to Ted. You know, it's really hard. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be the hardest budget by far that any of us will ever have had to manage through. Obviously, everything's on the table, and I mean everything. There's just so much unknown. The best information we're getting out of Washington is that they're going to get something done around Memorial Day, plus or minus a week. So I think we're kind of in a holding pattern until we know that.
Hi, this is Amanda Milkovitz. I just have a question. I just want to clarify something from Dr. Alexander Scott. When it comes to the antibody tests, are those also being offered to the healthcare workers? So I was just looking at the White House criteria for states.
As we are doing the work that I've mentioned as part of the outbreak response for congregate care settings, where healthcare workers are, we are focusing on the diagnostic test, the PCR test, not the antibody test. Given the conversations we had earlier this week about our overall testing strategy, when we do the type of testing that allows us to have a scan of the population and get a better understanding about how disease spreads from a COVID-19 standpoint in the population, mm-hmm. we will be focusing on the PCR tests, but using the antibody test to help us learn more so about how the antibody test works, because there really is not data that supports using the antibody test on an individual basis, but it is helpful for teaching us more information at a population level.
So is that why you're not giving it the antibody test to healthcare workers, and that's in the guidelines? I was just wondering why that's not happening.
No, we are using it. We are not using it for our outbreak response, but uh-huh. for the surveillance picture, the long-term picture of testing, we are using both the PCR and the antibody, and it will include healthcare workers and a large proportion of our different sectors of our population.
So that you had the test, for example, you had the pilot program with the 4 Stop and Shops, and you're going to randomly select about 5,000 Rhode Islanders for the antibody test.
Antibody and the PCR test for
and
that one. And
okay.
Future ones will be doing a similar approach at times, and it will include different types of workers, such mm-hmm. as healthcare workers, first responders, where developing that list and working with the testing and validation task force to roll that out.
All right, but right now you're not doing that. You're just doing the...
Today, no, but the team is moving very quickly, so there will be ones in the coming days to weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Doctor, during the briefing, you talked about Rhode Island's recovery rate, but you didn't give a number. Could you please do that now?
I have more information that I can share on that. 14 days ago, we had 7,129 cases. We can't say anything definitively about the people diagnosed since then, but if you subtract the fatalities and people with long hospital stays from that number, 7,129, there are about 6,800 people that remain, and those are all people who have recovered.
Thank you.
What are the regulatory and legal constraints on discrimination against people who have a history of either positive or negative testing with COVID-19? And in particular, there are news reports that the U.S. Army is contemplating banning recruits from induction if they have a history of recovery from COVID-19. What would happen if private or public employers decided to adopt a similar approach, setting aside the unreliability of antibody testing?
Right.
This is Michael Doyle from OTU.
Thank you, Michael. There's still a lot that's needed to understand from a legal standpoint. Our focus right now, with support from the Testing and Validation Task Force, is to make sure that people have a true understanding about how the tests work. The fact that it is less reliable when you use the test on someone who does not have symptoms makes it so that you would not want it to be the only approach to bringing someone back to work. It needs to be a comprehensive assessment. The fact that we know very little about the antibody test, particularly at an individual level, means that you would absolutely not want to have that be its own indicator for someone returning to work. We are still needing to learn more information about that test at a population level.
Well, how would you advise somebody who was, say, reluctant to get tested because they were afraid that it would mess up their plans to join the Army?
Yeah, we'll need to keep thinking about that. You know, we want to just make sure that everyone's educated on the test within itself. And these are all questions that we'll need to start exploring over time.
Okay, thank you.
Director, this is UI Sherman from Channel 12. I just have a question about the veterans home. I'm wondering, that facility for a long time didn't have any cases or deaths. Now it does. Based on your contact tracing, have you been able to determine how the virus got in there?
It's always challenging to identify a definitive source of illness. We do know that there are a variety of ways, sometimes a staff person, sometimes a visitor through one of the other roles, because there have been no visitors, but the people who are working that have to come to visit to the facility may have acquired it in the community and may not know it. And then sometimes it's oftentimes hard to tell. But more of the cases obviously were identified because we did the aggressive approach once we had one of testing all staff and all residents. And so that's why it suddenly became the number of people positive that were noted for the vet's home that weren't noted previously. And it does give the opportunity to acknowledge that it had gone as long as they had without having a case that reflects ongoing good work that nursing homes are working to do.
So are you saying that you don't know specifically how it got into the veterans home?
Correct.
Governor, Kim and I are getting a lot of emails from folks who are starting to run out of 26 weeks of jobless benefits because they were already on. CARES Act extended it, but that does have to be rolled out, the extra 13. Do you have any sense from DLT on when they'll be able to start signing people up for the extra 13 weeks?
Yeah.
Hey, Chad, it's Brett. The so-called extension benefits are the very next thing on DLT's list. They're very aware of this issue and expect to be rolling it out shortly, as early as next week. They've been ahead of the curve throughout this crisis in terms of providing benefits. We know that this is an issue, and they're all over it, hopefully by next week.
Thank you.
Got about a minute left.
We've heard from a number of people who were approved for unemployment and received benefits, say, the end of April and the first week of May, but that leaves some backlog for 3 or 4 weeks whenever they applied. Any idea how that's going to be resolved? Do they have to take any action, or will DLT just eventually make that up?
I don't believe they need to take any action, but I don't know the specific timeline on the catch-up payments.
I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to both ladies.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks to all the moms on the phone.
All right, thank you, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow.